I'd like to have you look at, if you would please, verse number 13 through verse number 15 this morning. Well, it's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Amen. I'm glad we serve a risen Savior. I'm glad that He is in control. I hope that He is in control of your life. You say, well, wait a minute. If God is sovereign, then God is in control of all things. Yes, God is in control of all things. However, God also allows within His sovereignty you the opportunity to choose to let Him be Lord of your life. I hope and pray that He is Lord of your life. You'll never have any real blessings and you'll never have any real peace in your life until you learn to walk with the Lord on a daily basis. And when you learn to walk with Him and you realize that He is Lord and you allow Him to be Lord of your life, then all of a sudden you can find the peace and the comfort and the blessings of knowing the Lord and walking with Him. And that's really what this passage is about in Luke chapter number 24. Let's look at verse number 13 and following. And behold, two of them went the same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs. And they talked together of these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus Himself drew near and went with them. Let's bow with a word of prayer, please. Lord, I do pray that You'd help us this morning. And Lord, help us to set aside all of our preconceived ideas, Lord, the things that may be troubling our hearts and our souls. Lord, I pray that we'd take the cares of this life and, Lord, set them aside for a moment. And Lord, help us to sit at Jesus' feet. And help us, Lord, to learn of Thee. I pray, Lord, that we would choose today, all of us. All of us that are here today, or maybe those that are going to listen in the future over the internet. I pray, Lord, that they would choose to walk with Jesus on a daily basis. I pray, Lord, now for Your blessing. We guide and direct. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen. The earthly life of Christ was over. Jesus Christ had been born into this world according to the Scriptures, lived a sinless life. For 3.5 years, exercised His earthly ministry. There He performed miracles, beginning at the wedding feast of Cana. He healed those who were crippled. He touched the eyes of those who were blind and gave them sight. Those that were hurting, He comforted. Even those that were dead, He raised back to life. The powerful messages that He spoke to the multitudes on many different occasions were past. Christ had been crucified, He was buried, and thank God, as that song that Brother Troy sang, He is risen. Amen. Amen. Now, after the Lord had risen, two of His disciples are walking down the road to Emmaus. Now, for many years, I pictured the disciples walking down this little path through the countryside. Until I began to study it out. And the road to Emmaus was about 60 furlongs, which is about 7¾ miles from Jerusalem. But it wasn't just a straight road going there. When they, literally, Jerusalem is in elevation down, and as they were going to Emmaus, they were climbing up, and they had to climb through passages with narrow rocks on both sides, and it was a very treacherous and it was a very rugged path that they had to go down. It had many ascents and many declines as they were going over this mountainside, and it was a very difficult journey. It wasn't just a straight path. And besides that, it was 7.5 miles or 7¾ miles that they had to walk. I was reading in one commentary about the path, and it said that as they rode this path, probably by horse, it took them 3.5 hours to do so. So walking was probably even longer than that. And so as they were traveling this rough, rugged road, they began to talk one with another. And they began to rehearse all of those things that was in their mind. all the things that they experienced, all the emotions that had just gone through their minds. And it says in verse number 14 that they talked together of these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, that Jesus himself drew near. Now I want you to picture this in their mind as they're making this walk towards Emmaus, and they were climbing over the rough terrain and the road that was there. They were talking back and forth as they walked. I want you to remember that they had just experienced the most difficult time in their personal lives and probably the most difficult time in history, where they saw the Son of God, the Messiah, the one that was promised to come, their hope, the hope of all of Israel. They watched as he was lied about, as he was beaten, as he was crucified and put to death wrongly. And they experienced all of these things. Remember, the Messiah was gone. Their friend had died a wrongful death according to their eyes. Their hope had come to an end. Jesus was dead. And according to verse number 14 and 15, they walked along the way, they talked and they rehearsed all these things in their minds. I believe that each of us should have a desire to walk with the Lord. Amen. We would be helped and enriched and strengthened if we would learn to spend time with the Master.
That's right.
And as we walk down the road of life, if we would allow Him to walk with us, I believe that we would be spared from a lot of heartache and trouble and turmoil in our life. Amen? But the problem is, too many people decide they're going to go ahead and walk their own way and walk by themselves, and they're going to walk in such a way that pride and arrogancy and self-centeredness and self-sufficiency is going to rule in their lives. My desire is to walk with the Lord today. I hope that your desire is to walk with the Lord today. Yesterday I was reading the newspaper. And some of you have probably read the newspaper yesterday also. I watched the news and I heard about the local affairs going on and the world events taking place. You know, it's sad. It's sad indeed when you really stop and think about it. After all that Christ has done, people choose not to walk with the Lord. And as I read yesterday's newspaper, I read things like this. 16-year-old stabs to death. Apparently he was rejected by her. She didn't want to go to the prom with him, so he says, okay, I'm going to kill you. And he killed her. How sad. Yeah. Another article is actually on the news. Vladimir Putin ready for World War III. Oh me. How horrible. World War I was noted as the war to end all wars. Well, that didn't happen. And near 100 wars have taken place since then, since World War I. And World War III, I would not want to even think about it. However, according to Bible prophecy, it is coming. I hope and pray before any more people die at the gunfire of the armies of the world, I hope that we're out of here. Amen. I hope the trumpet sounds and every born-again child of God is raptured out before all of that trouble happens. You say, is that the way it's going to pan out? I guess we're going to have to wait and see. The most important thing is you better make sure that you know that you're saved. I read about the 16-year-old and stabbing the classmate and Putin ready for World War III. There was a mother that was sentenced for murdering her baby. She got tired of the baby crying and she took the baby and took its head and banged it against a table until the baby died. Sentenced to life in prison. How sad. And then, of course, we all heard about, and I hope that you're grieved about what you've heard and read about a young man that attended services even here, called in bomb threats to schools here in Oak Harbor and Sandusky and Toledo. You say, well, how in the world could someone do something like that? How could someone murder their own baby? How in the world could a classmate go ahead and slice up their other classmate all because they were rejected from being a prom date? How could those things happen? I'll tell you how it could happen. It could happen because there came a day when they said, I will not walk with Jesus today. I will not walk with Him. You may say, well, preacher, that'll never happen to me. Better be careful. We are only sinners saved by the grace of God. We better be careful. The Bible says you need to take heed how you stand lest you fall. The Bible tells us pride goeth before destruction and a haughty spirit before destruction. And you may say, well, you know what? That stuff will never happen to me. I would never do anything like that. Listen to me. Any child of God, we have the ability to do the most vile and carnal, wicked things if we are not led and motivated by the Spirit of God. Amen? You say, what should we do? Number one, you need to pray for those individuals. You need to pray that God would grant them repentance. That God would draw them to Him. Regardless of all of that stuff that's taken place, today, I have a choice in my life. And today, you have a choice in your life. Am I going to walk with the Lord today? Am I going to walk with Him? Today I want to walk a walk that's filled with peace. I want to walk a walk that's filled with safety. I want to walk a walk that is filled with comfort. You know, you'll find all of those things as you walk with the Lord. I desire to walk with Jesus. Now, I want you to consider this text this morning. Verse number 14, it says in Luke 24, and they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus Himself drew near. I want you to notice several things this morning. I want you to notice the blessings. The blessings that can come to you if you choose to walk with the Lord. Now, we can witness around us and in society what is taking place. You know, it's predicted about the last days this is going to happen. The Bible says in the last days, men shall wax worse and worse. Deceiving. They are deceivers. They pawn themselves off as what they want you to believe that they are. It says, men shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Boy, doesn't that hit home? But I want you to notice, As I have a desire to walk with the Lord this morning, I believe these two individuals, Cleopas was one of them. Now that name may ring a bell to some of you. Cleopas was also referred to as Alpheus. He was the father of James the Less, and also of John and Jude. He was related to the Lord Jesus Christ. He was walking down there, and who the other person was, we really don't know exactly. The Bible doesn't tell us who the other individual was. It might have been another disciple. We really don't know. But as they were walking along, they were discussing all these things, and they were talking about all these things. And I want you to notice what it says in verse number 14. They talked together. Verse 15, they communed together. Verse number 15, they reasoned together. What did they reason? They weren't talking about how that the Indians lost the ball game or the Tigers lost. They weren't talking about who won the pennant last year. Or they didn't talk about who it is that's going to win the NBA championship. They weren't talking about those things. In verse number 14, it says, of all these things which had happened. You see, they desired to walk with the Lord. And as they went through life and as they were walking down that road, they had a desire once again to walk with the Lord and talk with the Lord. And they reasoned all these things in their mind. I want you to notice at the very beginning, all their conversation was focused about the Lord and what had just happened. You know, that is a very good way to start walking with God. When all of our conversation and all of our thoughts and all of our focus is on the Lord and what the Lord has done for us, when we start focusing on those things, all of a sudden, you better watch it, because the Lord is going to start drawing near to you. And when we start focusing on the things of life that really has nothing to do with the Lord, and we start focusing on sensualism and how to please our flesh and how to go ahead and go after the things of the world, you mark it down. The Lord is not going to be walking with you that day. As the disciples were focused on the Lord, what the Lord had done, the Lord started drawing near to them. Let me just say this about social media. You better be careful, Christian. Too many of you focus on checking your Facebook page instead of checking your Bible. And you're trying to draw close to what people are saying and trying to please people by what you post. I could care less of your daily routine. And those individuals that want to post every 5 minutes what they're doing, get a life. Amen. I don't know how else to say it. Just get a life. Going to the store, going to bed, going to take a shower. I don't care. Amen. I put up with that foolishness for just so long, and then I hide you. All right? I don't see any of your posts. Do you realize most people, if you post stuff like that, most people, they have you hidden. I hate to tell you that, but that's true. You see, they talked and they communed and they reasoned, and their focus was on the Lord. Now, I want to share with you just real quickly. When we walk with the Lord, what happens? Look at verse 15. Today, I'm choosing to walk with God. Tomorrow, when the sun gets up and I start my day, I have to choose again to walk with the Lord. The next day, I have to choose again to walk with the Lord. And as they were focused on the things of God, and as they were focused on what Jesus did for them, and they communed in their hearts one toward another, and they talked to these things, and they reasoned these things out, they said, I don't understand why all these things happened. As they focused on the Lord, number one, Jesus draws near. You want to walk with God? You want Jesus to draw near? Your life and your conversation and your actions needs to be about Him. And the blessings of focusing on Him
Number one, he draws near to us. I don't know what calamity has taken place in your life. Maybe you got bad word from a doctor. We've got to do surgery. It's cancer. Maybe you got a wayward child. Remember, the disciples were walking down a pretty rough road. During the times when it's rough, you know what we should do? Our attention and our focus ought to be on the Lord. Amen? We ought to be focused on Him. And as we're focused on Him during the rough climb through life, He draws near. He walks with me and He talks with me. He tells me I am His own. The joy we share as we tarry there, none other can ever know. Jesus draws near to us when we walked with Him. Look at verse number 25, same chapter. And there's a conversation between the disciples and the Lord. And the Lord said, "What manner of communication are these that you have one toward another as you walk and are sad?" Verse number 17. And then they said, "Are you a stranger around here? Haven't you heard about what's done?" The next verse. And Jesus said, "What things?" And then they begin to describe to Him all the events of the crucifixion and all the things that took place. Then look at verse 25. "Then He said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into His glory?" And beginning at Moses and the prophets, He expounded unto them in all the Scriptures the things concerning Himself. I think this walk took quite a while. I think that their pace slowed down quite a bit. They probably rested on a rock from time to time and just sit there and listened as Jesus began to explain about how the Messiah was going to be born. He probably went through the book of Genesis all the way through the book of Malachi and was explaining all of these prophecies, hundreds of prophecies. You see, when we walk with the Lord, number two, Jesus will enlighten our darkened minds. And the disciples, their minds were darkened to the things of God. They didn't understand fully what the Scripture had to say. You know, I've seen it happen so many times. People will get saved, and they don't get into the Bible. They don't read the Word of God, and they start falling away from God. And then all of a sudden they you know what? I don't understand why God is not answering my prayer. And I don't understand why these things are happening in my life. I don't understand. Why would God allow this to happen? You know what the problem is? They've got a darkened mind. Yeah. Right. Yeah. They might be saved, but their mind is darkened because they've never spent time with the Lord Jesus Christ. They've never spent time in His Word. Right. Jesus is the light of the world. Amen. Jesus is the one that can lighten a dark place. The Bible talks about the Savior. He has come to give light into darkness, to save them from darkness and turn them into light. You see, when we walk with the Lord, He will enlighten us. You know what? If you walk with the Lord, you won't have to argue with the preacher about whether or not drinking is wrong. Because He will enlighten you about that. You won't have to argue with the preacher and call the preacher. You know what? They just legalized pot out in Colorado. What's so wrong with that? After all, it's legal now, preacher. Can't we go ahead and smoke some dope? I mean, you know, you see, if we walk with the Lord, listen, if we walk with the Lord, all of a sudden He will enlighten our eyes to what really is right and what is really wrong. Amen? Amen? You see, when we walk with God, and we walk in this Word, all of a sudden He brings light. Light to our pathway. Light to what is right and light to what is wrong. What a blessing. I can see clearer today than I've ever seen before. And every day as I read this word, and every day as I walk with the Lord, He gives me a little bit more light. And things get so much clearer. And those that choose not to be in the Word, and those that choose not to walk with Him, their path grows darker and darker and darker. And the Scripture says, and they know not at what they stumble. The disciples, when they walked with the Lord, Jesus enlightened their dark minds. Look at verse number 29. The day was drawing to a close. They were arriving to their home in Emmaus. They had been walking all day long. In verse number 29, or verse 28, it says, and they drew nigh unto the village whither they went. In other words, they were coming to Emmaus. And He made as though He would have gone further. But they constrained Him. They constrained Him. Now the word constrained means to strongly urge. Don't go any farther. Stay with us. There was something that they desired that they knew they needed out of this man. And they said to this man that drew near to them, who was Jesus, they said these three words, abide with us. Abide with us. I'll tell you the third thing that happens when you begin to walk with Jesus. You can't get enough of Him. When you begin to walk with the Lord, and the Lord becomes your focus, and He becomes your life, every day you say, Lord, 'tis eventide. Come and abide with me tonight. Stay the night. Be with me all night long. And in the morning when I get up, walk with me the next day. And the next day you say, Lord, abide with me. Don't leave me. I'm here to tell you, when you begin to walk with God and God becomes your life and He becomes your focus in life, you cannot get enough of God.
Amen.
And today, we've got professing Christianity that says, I've had enough of God on Sunday morning. I don't need God on Sunday night. And I don't need God on Wednesday night. I don't need God throughout the rest of the week. I'm going to just be a Sunday morning Christian. Listen, I feel sorry for you if that's the path that you chose to walk. Because Jesus Christ has so much more to offer.
Amen.
He has so much more to offer. Abide with me. Abide with us, the disciples said. And may that be our cry to the Lord. Abide with us. The evening is far spent. Night is drawing close. And Christian, listen to me. Night is coming. As the old song says, night is coming when no man can work. We better cry out to God and say, Lord, the day is growing dark. The world is growing crazy. I need Your peace. I need Your safety. I need Your comfort. Lord, abide with us. I hope that's the prayer of Grace Baptist Church. I hope that's your prayer today. Lord, abide with me. You see, when we walk with the Lord, we never get enough. If I could, I'd have church every day of the week. I love going to church. I love singing the old songs. I like listening to preaching, except mine. I feel sorry for you folks. I don't like listening to my own. I don't know how you tolerate it. But you know what? I love listening to preaching. I love being in the house of God. I like reading His Word and studying His Word and teaching Sunday school class. I like listening to classes being taught. I never get enough. Number four, look at verse 31. They said, "Abide with us. The day is far spent." And he went into them to tarry with them. Verse 30, "And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake it and gave to them." All of a sudden, their eyes were opened. This is the Lord. He had just done that several days in the upper room and did the exact same thing, and all of a sudden, their eyes were opened exactly who it was. When we walk with the Lord, verse number 31 tells us the disciples saw who He really is. And when we walk with the Lord, all of a sudden we're going to realize just exactly who it is that we're serving. Amen? Who is the Lord? The Bible says that He is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the beginning and the end. He is the first and the last. The Bible tells us, Jesus said, "I am the door to the sheepfold." The Bible tells us that He is God Almighty. He is the Lamb of God. He is the help in a time of trouble. He is our advocate. He is our intercessor. He is the bright and morning star. He is the bread of life and the good shepherd. He is the great shepherd. He is the bishop and shepherd of our souls. Amen. He is our advocate. Here, our advocate. He is our intercessor. He is the bread of life. He's our great high priest. He's the mediator of a new and living way. He is the new covenant. He is the true vine. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And no man goes to the Father except you go through Him. When we walk with the Lord, when we walk with God, He reveals to us, especially during difficult days, especially during days of trouble, and the way gets dark and steep and rugged, He reveals to us that He's a very present help in the time of need.
Amen.
When we walk with the Lord, He reveals just who He is. You say, "Well, preacher, I want to walk with the Lord." Good choice. Good choice. It's the best choice. Say, "How do I do that?" Number one, you need to get saved. You need to be born again by God's power. God told a very religious man in John chapter number 3, one who believed in God and one who understood who God was, but he didn't understand who Jesus was. Jesus said, "Except a man be born again, he cannot see and he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." John chapter 3, verse 3 through 5. So number one, you need to be saved. You say, "Well, how do I be saved?" Well, you need to repent of your sins and trust what Jesus Christ did for you on the cross of Calvary by faith for the remission or the forgiveness of your sin. If you will do that, the Bible says, if you'll call upon the name of the Lord, He'll save you. Number two, you need to read and take heed to the Word. In Psalm 119, verse number 9, it says, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to Thy Word. Thy Word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against Thee." In Psalm 119, verse number 105, "Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." We need to read the Word and take heed to the Word. Listen, there are individuals throughout our society, and people even here in the church, or people that has been here in our church, that are saved, but they refuse to take heed to what they knew. The end result is a destroyed life. A destroyed life. Why? Because they knew and they turned from the Word of God. Step number one, be saved. Step number two, read and take heed. Step number three, Galatians chapter number 5 and verse number 16 says this, "But I say, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. How do I walk with the Lord? Walk in the Spirit of God. Dr. Bruce Cummins, I remember him saying it year after year when I was in Bible college. My human best, filled with the Spirit of God. And that's what we ought to give Him. Our human best. Yield it over to God's Spirit. Let Him walk with us. And let Him live through us. Be saved, number one. Read and take heed to the Word, number two. Walk in the Spirit, number three. The question this morning is, who will you walk with today? Will you walk with Jesus? Or will you walk with pride, self-sufficiency, lust, arrogancy? If you choose not to walk with the Lord, where will you be tomorrow? If it's up to you where you end up, where are you going to be? If it's without the Lord, every doorway leads to trouble.
Right.
If you choose to walk with the Lord today, your words, your thoughts, your actions will be focused on Him, and His blessings will begin to be showered down upon you. The question is, will you walk with Jesus today? Let's bow our heads, please. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you desire to walk with the Lord, you must be saved. You must be born again. And if you're not saved, I would encourage you, trust Christ today. Repent of your sins and by faith turn to Christ, the only one that can save. And today, if you're here and you don't know Christ, I would like to pray for you. Is there anyone here that can raise their hand and say, "Preacher, would you pray for me? I'm not sure if I'm saved or not, but I do desire to walk with God." Can I see your hand? Pray for me. God bless you. Anyone else? Pray for me. God bless you. The Lord has spoken to you. We invite you to come. In just a moment, when the piano plays, come and let someone show you from the Bible how you can know for sure. Say, "Well, I don't want to get up in front of all those people. What would they think?" They would rejoice.
Amen.
I remember back almost 35 years ago, a preacher preached a message, and during an invitation service and a revival with over 500 people there, I walked the aisle in front of everybody and got down on my knees before God and said, "Lord, have mercy upon me, a sinner, and save me in Jesus' name." He saved me, changed my life forever. Today, if you don't know Christ, get saved. And if you're not walking with the Lord, I hope and pray that you'll choose to walk with God today and tomorrow, and every day until Jesus comes. Father, I pray, Lord, that you bless this invitation. Lord, we give it to you. Help us, Lord, to walk with Thee. Just a closer walk with Thee. Lord, that's our plea today. Help us. I pray, Lord, you'd save those that are lost. Work in their lives, I pray. Might your Holy Spirit convict them and show them of their need, and Lord, perform that new birth in their life. I pray, Lord, now that you bless this invitation, we give it to thee in Jesus' name. While every head is bowed and every eye is closed, let's all stand to our feet, please. The Lord has spoken to you while every head is bowed and every eye is closed. We invite you to come. Maybe it's to come this morning and just have prayer at the altar. Would you come this morning? Maybe you need to say, like this old song says, draw me nearer, nearer, Lord, to thy precious side. Maybe it's to make a commitment to walk with God today or make a commitment to walk with God tomorrow. How about it, Christian? Would you come today? Would you come and say, Lord, help me to walk with you? If you've never trusted Christ, would you come this morning? Come and trust Christ as your Savior while there's opportunity.